Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the part of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. There is unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire. Thank you.
Hello. Welcome to the show today. We're going to talk about Bible prophecy. Take a little detour, though. I want to talk about the Word of God, and I probably lose a lot of people because the Word of God ain't too much popular in today's society. Matter of fact, it takes a back seat to the Super Bowl. It takes a back seat to the Youngling Wrestlers. It takes a back seat to the election. As a matter of fact, people are looking for some human man, with Isaiah chapter 1 talking chapter 2 and chapter 3. Mainly chapter 1, chapter 2 talks about the flesh of man. The Bible says in Jeremiah that we should, it's the spirit that gives us the power to do things. It is not man. It's not Barack Obama. It's not Bill Clinton. It's not Reagan. Every 20 years, every 10 years, every 5 years, we're looking for something new. We just like kids. Of course, we want our business taken care of. We want our family taken care of. We want our income tax to be lower. We want our property tax to be lower. We want our food tax to be lower. And that's understandable. But one of the politicians, Thomas Jefferson, said, and I'm paraphrasing it, he says, give the people what they want. And sooner or later, when they're done getting it from you and you stop giving it to them, they're going to kick you out and hire somebody else to give the people what they want. And that's exactly what's happening now. See, George Bush was a stiff neck anyway. He didn't give nobody what they want. He just too busy trying to kill off Iraqi, innocent Iraqi people for the sake of getting rid of a politician who wasn't doing nothing in the first place, and they put him in charge in the first place. I got to figure, you go on the web, you can probably see a picture of Rumsfeld and George, and Saddam Hussein shaking hands. So that's no top secret. If an American citizen wants to really know, there is no top secret. Just go on the internet and you can find anywhere things you want to know. Matter of fact, if a caller called in, I can see their phone number. I know exactly where they're coming from because I can punch their number in to the search engine, and they give me your street address. So if you say something smart, I can backslide and come and beat you up. No, I was joking. Just joking. No lawsuits, please. But it's not a matter of factor of this country is the greatest country ever. And I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you this is the greatest country ever. But let's be frank. You probably say, okay, Frank. Just because the founding fathers, or whoever you want to call them, put legislation that says, okay, we're going to go off the form of the Bible, don't mean we're a Christian nation today. I know people disagree out there with me. But just because I say I'm a Christian don't mean I'm a Christian. If I say I'm a washing machine or a dryer and I'm in the garage and I say I'm a car, does that necessarily mean I'm a car just because I'm in the garage? If I wear a T-shirt that says, I love Jesus, and be at the club shaking my butt, does that make me a Christian? Well, how is it that these people have so much problems with President Obama when he says this is not a Christian nation? This isn't a Christian nation. If I can go to work over the coffee pot and get in trouble if I try to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, I have to do it on the sly. Is this a Christian nation? No. If I am in the military and I have to keep my religion in the corner, is this a Christian nation? No. If I get caught telling the next door neighbor's kid about Jesus, is this a Christian nation? No. So sum it all up, President Obama, even though I don't like him, black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese, yellow, silver, he was right. This is not a Christian nation. See, being a Christian is being Christ-like. And I'm not talking about mistakes. of a normal Christian person or even a country. But when you flat out reject prayer, when you flat out reject the Constitution, when you flat out reject anything of God in your society, poking fun of Jesus, this is no longer a Christian nation. I don't care how you put it. So, to sum it all up, the Bible talks about, and it said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. One of the first conditions we must meet to see our sins forgiven and our land healed is found in the beginning of this passage. If my people pray. Now, the word pray is interesting. Of the 12 Hebrew words employed to express the single verb to pray, the one used here means to judge self habitually. Not love self, not esteem self, but judge self habitually. If you have a quarterback in the NFL who throws interception, but instead of judging himself habitually, saying, well, I threw that the wrong way, I should have threw it faster and quicker and this and this, I threw it with this type of underarm when I should have did the upper arm, or if a coach can come to you and say, this is what you did wrong. Well, if he does do a Ryan Leaf, instead of doing that, he just blame everybody, then we have problems, okay? Churches, a lot of churches will talk about self-esteem, love self-esteem, whatever you want to call that, okay, but God wants us to put him first. What did John say? I must decrease, that God must increase. And if God has no room to increase in your life, that is growth. That is Christian growth. Christian growth is God increasing in your life, okay? If God is not able to increase and you decrease, then he can't do nothing for you. Now, remember what Jesus was kept saying, I cannot do anything unless my Father say I can do it. And that makes every sense of the word. Now, Jesus was saying in John 5, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now, that's Jesus, not because just because he was his Father, but see, Jesus was meek in spirit. And what did he talk about in Philippians when he was talking about, and I have to go find it, and I'll probably read it in a few minutes, because I always have trouble finding the scripture. I don't know, it's like, that's weird. But I don't really know if it's, I knew I just had it. I have like 10 stuff all in my Bible just to hold the spaces. But where it says, add to your faith, knowledge to your knowledge, and it just keeps going. And that's what I'm looking for. But the meekness that God is looking for is a surrendered life, a life that is surrendered to him. There's a lot of people out there who are having problems, and when they have these mental problems and these breakdowns, instead of going to God, because God's all old-fashioned, and let's remember that God is out of date, the 21st century, we don't need God, we just fix our own selves, them type of people, instead of going to God, they go to the bottle, they go to food, they go to the internet. Some people are mentally distressed. They can't do anything. They can't sleep. They can't eat. They can't do anything. But God gives us peace, brothers and sisters, and future brothers and sisters out there. God gives us peace. And God will give us peace because he loves each and every one of us out there. And God is not willing that any man or woman should perish but come to the knowledge and understanding of the truth. And how is it that we put our eyes on politicians every 4 years as if they're supposed to save us from something? Can a politician save us from our sins? Can a man save us from our sin? Can a man let us into heaven? Can your friend let you into heaven? No. Now, in order for us to be strong in God and stop sinning and have a life full of peace and joy, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, come to me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. So God wants to bring us peace in the innermost man. He wants us to have a peaceful life. He doesn't wish for us, even if you follow God's commandments, he gives you power to follow his commandments. Even if you get that new job, he gives you power to have that new job. Even if you have too many kids, he gives you power to raise those kids. If you have too much work around the house, give it to God. Because God will, he doesn't want us to worry about things. Now, I'm not saying you don't plan, because what me and my wife are doing right now, we just woke up and smelled the coffee. Especially me, as far as finances. So I have a cousin who just bought a house. I have a few people just bought a house. And I love seeing people do that. I have a church member also who just bought a house. And I'm like, wow. So I want to do that. And it's not coveting. It's not that type of coveting. But I admire people who are doing financially right. Well, after you buy the house, we have to make sure we're financially intact too. And that's another thing by itself. But us Americans, we love buying things. You know that burning sensation? I got that burning sensation. You know that burning sensation that you just got to spend money. Some people can't have money in their hands for about 5 minutes without just getting their hands itching, their heart itching. They want to just get out the door. Come on, girl. Grab your purse. Let's go. I'm going to buy you a dress. You know? That type of thing about a neighbor, too, and I'm not saying giving is wrong. I'm just saying you want to buy everybody something, and that's why you're broke. You broke. I can laugh at you because, hey, I'm been there. I want to take a break. I want to play my theme song, and I'll be right back. I just want y'all to see how y'all like it, and I'll be back. It's half of a theme song. I kind of butchered it a little bit. But just see how it sounds, and I'll be back. Defend Satan or fight against Satan. by the word God. Now, the armor of God is not necessarily the word of God, but it is. Because every piece is Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. He's our faith. He's our righteousness. He's the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gospel. He's the gospel of peace. He is everything. So when we read in Ephesians, we're reading practicality. We're reading technical issues. But when you see a car driving, a race car driving down the street, do you think of all the technical? Some dudes do. But do you think about all the pistons and the technical issues, or you just like to see a fast car drive down the street? Majority of people want to see a fast car driving down the street. Well, when you look at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, are you thinking of putting on all those things? And I've heard some Christians say that at the door they make sure they put all that stuff on, and that's fine and dandy. But the main focus is to put on Christ. And let me go to there so I can read it and get an understanding of this thing. And no, and I'm not talking about prophecy today, and I apologize because I noticed that. Ain't nobody going, I'm not going to, I'm just going to go with the Lord Leap. And that's all I can do. Okay? So, and I'm going to make some sense out of this. But the Bible talks about, when it first starts off, and I'm on the wrong book, my butt. Please forgive me for my friend, Mister. Okay. When it says, "Only my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might," you can stop right there. Of course, you're going to need the whole Bible, line for line, precept for precept. Of course, that's the meat, that's the good stuff. But I'm going to stop right there because it's all in Christ. Remember when I first started off, I was talking about it's not by might or by power, by muscle, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, who is the Spirit of God? It's Christ. Now, the Trinity is three in one. And it's hard for us, our minds to fathom it, but when you look at an ice cube, that's a good example. Even our body is three in one, but those are, our body is like three, it's the same, but it's all, see, in our body, we only have one personality. We have a spirit, soul, and the body, and it's one person. See, in God, there's three in one, omnipresent, omnipotent, omnipotent, but they are all everywhere. God is everywhere. You can't go to the bottom of the sea. You can't go to the top of the mountains. You can't go to Mars. You can't go to Venus. You can't go to the biggest sun in the universe. And there are some big suns out there. And that's another show for itself, baby. But praise God, man. I'm just full of, I'm just praising God. I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff, but I'm going to talk about it more on my show called Common Salvation. And I got to get that up because I only got one show done in the last, I don't know how long. And that show is what I'm supposed to be talking about right now. Okay, so we have to be strong in God. So those people out there who are having problems, first you have to be born again. So if you're sitting there and you just lost your boyfriend or you just quit your job and you don't know where the money's coming from, God will answer your prayer, but that's for him to try. He's trying to call you into his kingdom. So he's going to show you that, yes, I do answer prayers. But the better side is following me. I would rather be poor, and I'm not saying I'm taking back what I said earlier about trying to manage my money and trying to do things, but I'd rather be poor and happy than rich and sad. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And there are a lot of people out there who are sad and poor. They're rich and poor and rich and happy and poor and happy. So I'm not saying that's the norm of what I'm saying. And that not everything I say is a fact unless I'm going straight off the word of God. And like Paul did, sometimes Paul, and I don't think normal people can recognize, sometimes Paul gave what God gave him, and sometimes he gave his opinion. And when he's talking about single man getting married, single women getting married, now I think everything in the Bible was from God. Some people say, let me clarify that, some people say that it's Paul giving his opinion. But I think a lot of things that are in the Bible, now when he said, I think you should stay single, you know, it'd be better because you could do more for God. And then when he was saying, but if I was you, I would get married if you burn it. Now, is that God saying that or is that Paul? You be the judge. And we're going to take surveys. Anybody going, you know, it's joking. But anyway, let's get back to the message. The message. Now, I want to talk, and I'm still on the same subject. I'm still talking about the same thing, but I want to talk about Romans chapter 7, verse going into Romans chapter 8. Now, there's a lot of Romans chapter 7 Christians who have not entered in or entered over to. Now, does God draw the line? Does he allow cardinal Christians? Does he allow Christians who are half in and half out? And should you use the whole Bible to determine what I just asked? Can you use the Corinthian Christians who, he said, some of y'all were cheating on your wives and all of this stuff? Can you use that? He said, I wish you were, you grow up and drink some, I can't even give you, I'm milking anymore. You're not even taking that right. Well, he didn't say that. I'm just joking. But, he said, you can't eat meat, and he meant it spiritually. I can't give you the bigger things because you can't even drink milk properly. So the Corinthian church, now let's see if they were part of the Laodicean church, because I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but I know that's a long time ago, the Corinthian church, but the Laodicean church, he says, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And then he says, I'll come at an hour that you think not. Now, if that's the case, is the Corinthian church, are they going to be part of the rapture? And I mean, if we have the same church today, would they be part of the rapture? And what is God actually looking for? He says, am I looking for somebody who's dabbling in the world, who is part of the world system, who's shacking up? But what if you're shacking up and you had everything on your edge and your pieces in the right spot, and you're missing one boat? Well, the car runs, depends on what boat it is. But let's say you take the main spark plug out, well, the car runs. No. Stupid illustration, but if you're shacking up and you're doing everything you're supposed to do, are you going to be raptured? My daughter just said no upstairs. She has no idea what I'm talking about. She's talking about something else too, but I think it's funny. But you cannot play on the fence. That's why even my economics I had to get right. Because God wants us, remember what I read earlier, and I said what prayer meant in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, the word of pray is, it says Hebrew word employed express the single verb to pray. The one used here means to judge self habitually. Okay, so if you could have judged yourself habitually, that means you're judging yourself habitually. Well, let's take a female. Let's take a high school person in the 10th grade. Now, does she get up in the morning? I'm talking about the nice looking 10th grader. Female. I'm using female because they're more they're going to check themselves a little bit more. You get up in the morning, don't brush your teeth, don't take a bath, but you're pretty still. You put on your makeup, but you kind of have to do it and walk out the house. Now, is that, and you get to school and kids, you know, your friends are telling you, what's going on, girl? You know, what's going on? Your boyfriend, like, what's going on? Hey, you want some gum? You know, now, if that is the case, is she checking herself habitually? Okay, now it says, if my people who are called, now that means prayer, and that does mean pray, but that also means to habitually check yourself. Now, you can't go into the presence of God unless you have repented. God, will he hear you if you're not repentant? Not if you're not perfect. I'm not saying the Bible saying you be perfect, which he actually did. But no one can be perfect because Jesus is he's the only perfect person who has walked the planet. But here it's the meaning of the word pray is not only to remember Daniel when Daniel was checking himself in chapter 9, he was checking himself and he was also praying for the people. So Daniel was checking himself. He was saying, forgive me for my sins and my people's sins. And remember Isaiah, he says, is that Jeremiah? My brain is like functioning the wrong way lately. I'm too much aspartame, diet soda. But I think it was, Jeremiah. He says, I am around people. No, it's Isaiah. He says, I'm around people. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm around people with unclean lips. And he was checking himself. Now, to habitually check yourself, a woman does this. She should do this to her breast, and a man should actually go get checkup, too. It's called breast cancer, and it's called prostate cancer. Now, for us to habitually check ourselves, that's what Christians should do daily. Now, to go with that, we should also check ourselves as far as the rest of the Word of God. How do you check a phony dollar bill? The FBI, how do they check? What do they do to check a dollar bill? Well, do they study the phony? I'm talking about the counterfeits. Do they check the counterfeits? Do they look at all the counterfeits and say, oh, this is right, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is right? How do you know? They're all wrong. All counterfeits are wrong. No, you check the right one. You check the right dollar bill versus the counterfeit. Well, the Word of God, it says in John chapter 5, he was talking to the Pharisees. He said, you search the scriptures because you think they hold eternal life. And that's true. They do hold eternal life. And remember, Jesus went up to was led by the Holy Spirit, and he says, we must live by the word of God, by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And in order to check ourselves, we have to check ourselves first, the dollar. Oh, no. The almighty dollar? No, he's joking. You have to check yourself by the Bible. I kid you not. I pulled some dollar bills. I'm changing the subject. This is TV. I pulled some dollar bills out from the grocery store. I get changed back, and they smell like smoke. And getting back to what I was talking about before, and I'll jump back to what I was talking about just a few minutes ago. They got a godly trust on a dollar bill. Now, what God is? Is it the dollar bill? Because people put their faith in money. People dream, instead of dreaming about the rapture of the church and God, you're looking at Jesus Christ straight up, and there's clearly, angels flying through the air, and everybody's hugging each other and celebrating Jesus Christ. Peace be still, let's go up to heaven, and we go up to heaven and have a good time. they fantasize about going to play the lottery. Now, is that putting your trust in something else other than God, or you just want to win the lottery? Blessed is the man who wins the lottery and gives it all up. Or blessed is the man who wins the lottery, buys a mansion, keeps it to himself, pour it up. Well, I'm going to build me another garage. I'll just put everything in there, and I'll close the door, and I'll just live happily ever after and sing kumbaya. Just like the dude in the Bible. He says, your soul will be required before the end of the night, chief. Is that what people do? I think that's what people do. But anyway, I won't go there. But and I'm sorry I'm jumping around and I'm trying to make some sense out of this. But the Romans chapter 7 person, how do you, if you draw a bridge between chapter 7 and chapter 9, all roads lead to God. Okay, that's another road. Chapter 7 is a person who is struggling with everything. Now, could he be possibly a carnal Christian or somebody just struggling? Did the Bible address somebody that is struggling? Or does the Bible address the wrong type of knowledge? What I mean by that, the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that's in Hosea chapter 4. So my people, that's also distorted knowledge. So what does the devil want you to do? Okay, so what does the devil want you to do? How does he want you to have distorted knowledge? How does the devil want to address the knowledge that you have? What does the devil want to do to cripple you as an ineffective Christian or someone who can be a potential Christian? When I say Christian, I mean Christ-like. Someone who wants to serve God daily. And that is the better life. I'm telling you. Jump aboard, people. We need to jump aboard. But if we don't put God first and put his word first and keep his commandments by his spirit, we're sure changing ourselves, because there's a lot of people out here who says, okay, I do what God asks me to do, but they really tricking themselves. They really just kind of like fantasizing, because Americans, we live in a fantasy. Even our football have fantasy football. I mean, geez, we got people hitting each other with speeds of about 30 miles an hour, and we're trying to make a fantasy football. I mean, you know, we got Spider-Man and Batman and everything, our superheroes, our fantasy. A lot of stuff is fantasy, but when you get out in the real world and you trip up and fall and break your neck, that fantasy don't seems a lot like fantasy, doesn't it? But the Word of God talks about the sword. Let me look in this other Bible. He talks about the sword going off the soul, seed. And the sword is the word of is God himself, Jesus, going out to sow seed and sowing different hearts. And he says, some fell on, I'll just look it up and keep, and then I'll talk to y'all in a few minutes. But, and I hope I'm not losing nobody out there, but what I'm trying to say, and to sum it all up, is that the Word of God gives us power to live his life. And no man can give us the strength and the hope. The Bible talks about looking for that blessed hope in Titus 3, 2, 13, excuse me. No man can give us the power. No person, if you have a problem, you call in your sister. Hey, girl, I'm just this dude, man. He lives with me, and I can't just blah 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 blah. You know that's something you got to get out. You got to get out that relationship anyway, because you ain't supposed to be living together anyway. But here's another one. Hey, girl, shoot, my kids are driving me crazy, and I don't know what I'm gonna do.
See, y'all hate to hear this, but girl, I'm going to tell you,
you need to go and you need to get on your knees and tell Jesus that you need his help.
I've tried that before, but I just don't know what to do.
Girl, I'm telling you, the Lord is good. He's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. You just gotta trust in him because he is your help in a time of danger. He just loves you so much.
But girl, I know, but ain't nobody following God.
That's what she should say. So then the sister can break her down. Break it down, because the Bible says that the gospel should come with many offenses. It says, woe to the person who's offended. And I don't want nobody telling me my birthday. I mean, if I'm sitting next to them in church and they're going to tell me, that's how I feel sometimes. Because we're really sensitive people. Americans are really sensitive people. We are so sensitive. It says, God will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. Now, we need our help. Our help should come from the Lord, nothing else. Even with me, my hope, 100%, should be in the Lord, okay? But I'm going to take another quick break, and then I'll be right back. And I might just cut this music right in half. Actually, I'm going to let y'all listen to Jude right quick. I'll be back.
The General Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will there.
Okay, I'm back. Did y'all hear when he's talking about that common salvation? He said, eagerly contend. If you were going to contend for something by God's word and by God's spirit, you're going to contend for the faith. Now, contending means that you are going to apply yourself. Now, imagine the next door neighbor saying, okay, I'm out of football, I'm 23 years old, I'm just going to go try out for the Seattle Seahawks. That's where I live at. To contend for the Seattle Seahawks, it would take your mind, body, and soul to make that team. Now, to be a Christian, you must deny yourself and come after Jesus. And see, people don't want to pay the price to follow after Jesus. They want to get it for free. See, the microwave generation, throw it in the microwave, turn the microwave on, flip it off, take your stuff out, take the plastic off the thing and eat it. Okay? We want our cake and eat it too. We want to have the boyfriend, but we're just sneaking a little nook in, and we want it all. I just want it all. But I'm going to tell you this, you can't have it all. The Bible, Jesus is talking about the man who, or the woman, of course, who count the cost of the building to be built. And of course, and the building to be built, he says, you need all the pieces and all the parts, and you don't count the cost before you start to build. And Christine, we got this easy believism where you can just believe the Billy Graham Crusades, you believe. And then now you're saved, get up and just go and become a drag queen. And God loves drag queens. I mean, he loves the person. And if people say, well, I don't want to hear if he loves the person and hates the drag queen. Well, put it this way. The consequences of sin, like getting a car, drunk with a skunk, and killing a whole family are far greater than just, you know, to stop the thing, get yourself right, and do the right thing. A lot of people think, well, why is this happening to me and why is that happening to me? Blessed is the man or woman who things actually happen to them without their control. But don't act like because you're an alcoholic, and yes, I used to be one, or if you are a homosexual, you know, God loves the person and hates the action. Because you know, one of the people in my church is alone. You can never tell a gay person that. You just make them mad. Well, you know what? Just like I said a few minutes ago, the gospel comes with many offenses. Just like I said, if you just tell somebody that breath stink in the air, they can deal with that. But if you say it like loud, you know, when the church is just starting, everybody's like, hey, girl, how you doing? Oh, I'm going to bring some maggots. I got in the garage. I'm just one of all dead. You know, people are like, I'm going to talk about that in a future show, Common Salvation Show, where I'm just going to talk about people who are just foul, especially at my mom's church that I grew up in. She's like, man, people don't speak. Well, how are you going to be up in the church not speaking to nobody? It's beyond me. Jesus is beyond me. It is beyond me. And yes, I'm going to tell y'all the sky is falling. They'll say, well, don't you going to tell me the sky is falling in your ministry? No, the sky ain't going to never fall because the world will never end. Do you know that? This is world without end. This world will go on forever and ever and ever. But the thing is, Satan's empire will come to an end soon. And for the last 12 minutes, and I hope I didn't lose anybody because I was all over the place, but I was trying to focus on the Word of God being the most important thing in your life besides the relationship with God. And I think the difference between the people who are raptured and the people who are not, and the people who die in Christ and the people who don't, is because the people who die and go to heaven put God first. And let me quickly draw the picture of Romans chapter 7 to Romans chapter 8. The person in Romans chapter 7 were not walking in the Spirit. Or if they were, they had lack of knowledge. And you got to pick up the Word of God to gain the rest of the knowledge. Now, to come on to the other side, will take the Word of God and it will take the Holy Spirit working through the other God to bring the... That's why it says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can get over the bridge to chapter 8. Because if you stay on chapter 7, you're going to be left behind. Or if you die, you're going to be in the wrong place. You say, well, no, that's not right. The person in chapter 7 is just struggling. Well, the Bible says, have a form of godliness in your mind, the power thereof. If you're struggling with alcoholism, and that's your God, God is not really, if you look at the surface of the person, the struggle is because you want to drink. The struggle is because you want to be in a relationship living with your boyfriend. You don't see the importance of, I'd rather go and live with my mom and have her fuss at me for a while so I can afford my own apartment because I don't want to go to hell when I die. Those same people that are living with their boyfriend or living with their girlfriend are in Romans chapter 7. They want to do right. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who can help me? And then he goes on to say, Jesus can help you. Now, could a person be, does it take a while for a person to break something? The person never breaks anything. But the true gospel, who the Son sets free, will break that sin. Let's look at this. I'm going to look at this. Okay. Let's say there's a lot of men suffering from pornography on the internet who even marry men. Let's say the man really wants to stop. Okay. But let's say he never picks up the Bible or never goes and listens to anybody that could give him the right word. And he still goes to church and he still prays at night. He still wants to serve God. Is he right with God? Okay, now let's rephrase that. Let's say all of a sudden he just comes to his mind and says, you know what, man, I need to start picking up the Bible and I'm going to listen to some radio programs. And the radio programs give him what he needs, but he does not apply it. Is he going to heaven? Now, James chapter 1, I think it is, it talks about a man looking in the mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. Why is the Bible so harsh? Why is the New Testament so harsh? But everybody else wants to give that person, the last person, definitely, the easy escapism. Could God free you? If you just sit down for a second and say, could God free me from masturbation? Could God free me from drugs? Could God free me from easy believism? Could God free me from alcoholism? Could God free me from cheating on my husband? Could God free me? Yes. But we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to be free. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say do? He says, when did I not do the things that you say? You know, I mean, could God break habits from us? How is the habit broken by faith? But we read his word, and we're cleansed by his word. And we stay close to God, and most of the sins are going to be gone. It's what you want to do. You always have to make sure that person has, that's sometimes God, what God will do is he'll run you all the way to the point where you just hate that sin so much, and then come over to chapter 8. But these people want to stay in chapter 7 because, to be honest, sometimes sin, and I'm not going to be funny enough, but sin is not in itself boring. Duh. I mean, sin is not boring. Alcohol is not boring. Taking a doobie ain't boring. Smoking a blunt. Going to a club is not boring. Or let's go to the people who think they're saved, but they're, oh, you're so morally good. You know, Jesus, it's easier to get to the people who were sitting around you. Oh, why are you sitting with tax collectors and prostitutes? Don't prefer. Well, God taught us. He says, I didn't come to be a doctor to the well, but to the sick. Why would I have to be a doctor to the well for? They don't need me. And there's a lot of people who don't have habits are in worse positions than the people who do have habits. Because the people who do have habits can see that I need help. And maybe some of them just say, you know what, I'm just going to smoke my joint or smoke my crack until I go to hell. And some people just say, I need Jesus. But the people who are going around lukewarm in Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea in church, going around lukewarm thinking they're okay, it says, you need us nothing. You're rich. And remember when the show first came out, I talked about the arm of man who have confidence in the arm of man? But God said, not by his might or by the muscles of man, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's by his power that we are saved. Okay, we got 5 minutes left. God, the Lord bless those out there. You know, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and listen to your word, God. We just pray that you would give men and women out there knowledge of your Son, knowledge of his salvation, knowledge of the cross, and knowledge of the future that he will call us home one day to be with you in heaven. This show is good. I'm going to start interviewing. People are going to start coming on this show and stuff like that, but I got to do some new things. And if you hear me coughing when the show comes on, I just got to do all of that stuff over. And I apologize for that. But God bless everybody out there. God is good. God is calling people out to himself, and we don't know when he's coming back, but it's in the future, and it's near future. It's a lot nearer than we think. I don't know about 2012, but things could shake up way before that. I've been wrong before, and I like being wrong because I get to talk to a lot of y'all. And I don't come out and say, God told me this. I'm going to start doing some radio programs. I'm just going to be just do some crazy stuff, and y'all going to think I'm kind of crazy. But that's fine. I got a live, I got a video website called GoMakerTube.com. Go to that. I'm just going to have GoMaker everything. GoMaker News. I'm working on that right now. GoMaker Radio. That's going to be 24 hours. And I only got, if y'all go to my Facebook, what is my Facebook name? Bug1969, I think. If not, just look up. Also, you can go to Armageddon Clock on Facebook. And I got to get these names down, man, because I got so much stuff, men and women. I always got to say men. I don't know why. It's part of my English. But I'm going to have my shows, man. You can hear my wife talking to my one-year-old upstairs. I don't even care. I'll just have my shows. I just tell them not to be so loud down here, downstairs, with my fingers in my downstairs. I'm going to play a long at the end of the show when my theme song comes on. I'm just going to go ahead and play my my long theme song. And that's how I'm going to take my show off today. But I'll be back later on this week. And like I said, I'm going to start having guests on. And I'll be start being a little bit more blunt, get rid of the because my sister said I have too many and I have to get mad at football players for doing that. I want to talk about the African Americans and their reliance on the system instead of on God next time we come together. And that is a big problem because I want to also talk about what we're telling our kids. Because I don't like them CNN specials, the plight of the black man. And the kids know that it's a plight and it's doing them an effective justice that know we in a struggle. I suggest you just go to college and you put yourself in a position to get a job. But white man can't even get a job today. Well, what's the difference? I'm on the New World Order people. And these few men want to kill off everybody, not just the black, white, Puerto Ricans. They want to kill off everybody. So my side of the story is a little bit weirder than most black men. Because I'm going to tell you right away that the black man is in the same position as the white man. And these wars, you think these wars been started by just being started? But Roosevelt said nothing in politics type of accident. If that happened, it was planned that way. Okay? If you want to listen to KRS-One and all those dudes, you listen to KRS-One. He used to be a rapper back in the 80s. This dude and Professor Griff. These guys, man, they know about the New World Order. Now, does this tie into Bible prophecy? Yeah, it does. The Federal Reserve is not federal. Oh, my God. The Federal Reserve is not federal? What do you mean the Federal Reserve is not federal? Girl, I thought the Federal Reserve is federal. I'm going to tell you, it's not federal. It's owned by a few men. They got us by the gut. They sure do. I'm going to play my theme song, y'all, and I'm going to check out for the night. Y'all have a wonderful week. See me on Thursday. I don't know what time. Forgive me for my ignorance. God will forgive me. Y'all have a wonderful day and pray for this nation. God bless.